Here.
Harris?
Here.
Moranti?
Here.
Morris?
Here.
Roni?
Here.
Sarar?
Here.
Walker?
Here.
Wallace?
Here.
President DiPietro?
Here.
Quorum present.
Okay. Can I have an introduction to dispense with the reading of the minutes of the February 15th meeting and place them on file?
Dewan,
and a second, please?
I'll second.
Excuse me, Amber, second. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Anyone?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? The motion carries. Before we go on, Alderman Morris would like to make a short report on the legal committee's recommendation.
Just very briefly, the legal committee met to review. We had two meetings. One, we had a presentation of various scenarios and data by Steve Bell. And then we met to review and discuss where we thought we should go. And unanimously, the legal committee voted the three scenarios were minimizing differences in ward sizes, minimizing disruption, so having a minimum impact on people moving from one ward to another. And then the third was an option that would have created, would have moved the terraces that currently, the residences that are currently in the first ward on the south side of one into the second ward with the rest of those apartments. Unanimously, it was decided that we should go with the path of least disruption to the citizens. So that is what we are working on right now. I will be putting together a map similar. I did send the link out to everybody on the law that was passed. I'm putting together data that will show the actual counts from the last census in each of the wards by census block. And hopefully we will, at our next regular meeting of this council, be able to present the council with the data and our proposal to move forward. So any questions?
Okay, moving onward. I need a motion and a second to place committee reports on file. Do I have an introduction?
I'll introduce.
Art and Dewan, second. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Anyone?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Okay, the motion carries. We have one communication. It's the city clerk's financial report for 2021. Can I have an introduction? Dewan, and a second. Amber. All those in favor of receiving the communication, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Anyone opposed? The motion carries. Shaheen, could you put up the list of bills, please? Can you hear me? Shaheen? Oh, there we go. He can. Okay. Any questions?
What is the last one? 5,700.
All right, sorry, certified public accountant.
Anything new?
I don't see anything really.
I don't see that in the package.
It's not in your package? It shouldn't be. Any questions?
I have a question.
Yes.
Sorry.
I'll just say the city treasurer has a handout.
Thank you. I didn't see that for some reason. Yes, Heather, do you have some comment?
Sorry. Yeah, I just wanted to comment on Fontana CPA since somebody asked about it.
Yes.
That is actually the CPA for the the central fire station, part of the financing agreement that we have is that we pay all of their financial fees, including their auditing fees. So it's not directly for the city, but it is for the central firehouse.
Thank you for that clarification. Okay, let's see. Any other questions?
I have a question. Heather, do you by chance happen to have a breakdown of what all of these various tech items are that we spend money on? I'm just seeing a lot of tech, and I want to know if there's like any way of combining or having some kind of synergy.
I do not necessarily, because the vouchers are paid by the various payroll clerks in the different departments. But I will echo your thought that I think that there is a lot of opportunity to centralize purchasing and other kinds of tech agreements. And that's certainly something that would be worth looking into. As you know, we don't have a purchasing officer nor HR officer, but worthy things to look into.
Okay, in terms of if I wanted to do some digging on that, is that who best to shake down?
I guess it depends on what it is you're looking for. We can provide you, you know, what vendors have been charged to get what accounts, but you really probably have to talk to the different department heads to find out what they are using those things for.
Awesome. Thank you, Heather. I'll follow up.
You got it.
Okay. Can I have an introduction, please? Juwan, a second. Amber. A roll call vote, please, Tracy.
Alderman Anthony.
Aye.
Descaludi.
Aye.
Frick.
Aye.
Harris.
Aye.
Moranti.
Aye.
Morris.
Aye.
Roney.
Aye.
Saar.
Aye.
Walker.
Aye.
Wallace.
Aye.
President DiPietro.
Aye.
Carried.
Okay. Now we have the resolutions from last week. First one, Commissioner Deeds. A roll call vote, please, Tracy.
Alderman Anthony.
Aye.
Pascaluti.
Aye.
Frick.
Aye.
Harris.
Aye.
Moranti.
Aye.
Morris.
Aye.
Roney.
Aye.
Saar.
Aye.
Walker.
Aye.
Wallace.
Aye.
President DiPietro.
Aye.
Carried.
Next resolution designating Greene County Commercial Bank as our depository. A roll call vote, please, Tracy.
Alderman Anthony.
Aye.
Descaludi.
Aye.
Frick.
Aye.
Harris.
Aye.
Moranti.
Aye.
Morris.
Aye.
Roney.
Aye.
Saar.
Aye.
Walker.
Aye.
Wallace.
Aye.
President DiPietro.
Aye.
Carried.
Now, just a reminder, some of these resolutions, these are the ones we went over last week, but that doesn't mean you can't interrupt if you feel it needs further comment. The next one, please, Shaheen. This is the resolution supporting passage of the New York, New Jersey Watershed Protection Act. A roll call vote, please, Tracy.
Alderman Anthony.
Aye.
Descaludi.
Aye.
Frick.
Aye.
Harris.
Aye.
Moranti.
Aye.
Morris.
Aye.
Roney.
Aye.
Saar.
Aye.
Walker.
Aye.
Wallace.
Aye.
President DiPietro.
Aye.
Carried.
The next resolution reappoints Michael O'Hara to the Board of Supervisors to represent the city on the Columbia County Environmental Management Council. A roll call vote, please.
Alderman Anthony.
Aye.
Descaludi.
Aye.
Frick.
Aye.
Harris.
Aye.
Moranti.
Aye.
Morris?
Aye.
Roney?
Aye.
Sarar?
Aye.
Walker?
Aye.
Wallace?
Aye.
Present DPHO?
Aye.
Carried.
Next resolution is the one designating May 5th as the National Day of Awareness for Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women and Girls. A roll call vote, please.
Alderman Anthony?
Aye.
Duskalooty?
Aye.
Frick?
Aye.
Harris?
Aye.
Moranti?
Aye.
Morris?
Aye.
Roney?
Aye.
Sarar?
Aye.
Walker?
Aye.
Wallace?
Aye.
Present DPHO?
Aye.
Carried.
The next resolution authorizes to renew our service order with Mid-Hudson Cable and for upgrades. A roll call vote, please.
Alderman Anthony?
Aye.
Duskalooty?
Aye.
Frick?
Aye.
Harris?
Aye.
Moranti?
Aye.
Morris?
Aye.
Roney?
Aye.
Sarar?
Aye.
Walker?
Aye.
Wallace?
Aye.
Present DPHO?
Aye.
Carried.
And the last week resolutions is a increasing the fee schedule for the youth department summer programs. Roll call vote, please.
Alderman Anthony?
Aye.
Duskalooty?
Aye.
Frick?
Aye.
Harris?
Aye.
Moranti?
Aye.
Morris?
Aye.
Roney?
Aye.
Sarar?
Aye.
Walker?
Aye.
Wallace?
Aye.
Present DPHO?
Aye.
Carried.
Okay, onward to new resolutions. This first one, authorizes the approval of the low bidder for the Front Street Storm Line Separation Project. Any questions? Or comments? Can I have an introduction, please?
I'll introduce Tom.
Thank you. A second?
I'll second.
A roll call vote, please, Tracy.
Could you please identify introduction? Who introduced?
That was Ryan Wallace.
Thank you.
That's okay.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
So the evaluation of the bids was conducted by Delaware Engineering, correct?
By Rob Perry and the engineer.
Okay. And so when you're looking at the qualified bids that were submitted, were they all of equal quality? Is there any scoring matrix here?
Presumably, yes.
They weren't equal quality?
I assume so.
Or they met a minimum standard?
I imagine both. I mean, usually written into the RFP for something like this is both of those things, a scoring matrix as well as a standard of performance.
So bids that I've been involved in have had various matrices associated with cost, technical, function, quality, and so forth. And if the, sometimes the rule is we will go with the lowest qualified bidder. So if you meet a certain threshold, you'll go with the lowest. Sometimes it is based upon looking at the overall and putting perhaps more weight on one aspect rather than the other. So in this, were we compelled to accept the lowest qualified bidder? I just want to know what the rule was.
That's a good question. I think, is Peter Bujano there?
Yes. New York State municipal law requires city attorney can jump in, Crystal can jump in on this, but the lowest responsible bidder is the phraseology that's used. This was a bid, so it's awarded to the lowest responsible bidder. It is different than an RFP, so this was reviewed by engineer who developed the bids, etc.
So it's based on everybody who meets a certain threshold, and then whoever comes in the lowest, that's who it goes to. That's the rule.
I'm not sure what you're talking about when you talk about
responsible bidder.
Threshold.
Yes, you have to meet a certain threshold to be considered, and if you meet that threshold, in terms of quality of work, et cetera, or other factors, then whoever has the lowest bid is awarded the bid. Is that correct?
Lowest responsible bidder is a phraseology established by the state of New York for award.
Okay, can I have, we do have an introduction. Can I have a roll call vote, please?
Alderman Anthony.
Aye.
Vascoluti.
Aye.
Frick.
Aye.
Harris.
Aye.
Moranti.
Aye.
Morris.
Aye.
Roney.
Aye.
Saar.
Aye.
Walker.
Aye.
Wallace.
Aye.
Present DiPietro.
Aye.
Carried.
Next resolution, let's see, authorizes the fire department to, wait, where are we here? That you skipped one, I think, Shaheem. No, before the, oh, where is, oh, hmm.
Should be fire department donations. No?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, you just used.
Yeah. Well, they're both about, there's two about donations, yeah. But they're backwards here. Okay, so this one just accepts a check from Andrew DeForest in the amount of $200. Can I have an introduction, please? Go on, a second. All right, roll call vote, please, Tracy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just one out of order.
And the introduction was in here.
It was...
Sorry, I was looking...
Dewan and Art.
Got it. Thank you so much. Alderman Anthony.
Aye.
Vascoluti.
Aye.
Frick.
Aye.
Harris.
Aye.
Moranti.
Aye.
Morris.
Aye.
Roney.
Aye.
Saar.
Aye.
Walker.
Aye.
Wallace.
Aye.
President DiPietro.
Aye.
Carried.
Now, what do you have next there, Shaheem? Is it? Yes, okay. This just carries over funds remaining in the fire department donation account from 2021 and encumbers them to this year's budget instead. Can I have an introduction, please? Dewan. Art, second. Roll call vote, please, Tracy.
Alderman Anthony.
Aye.
Vascoluti.
Aye.
Frick.
Aye.
Harris.
Aye.
Moranti.
Aye.
Morris.
Aye.
Roney.
Aye.
Saar.
Aye.
Walker.
Aye.
Wallace.
Aye.
President DiPietro.
Aye.
Carried.
Okay. The next resolution authorizes a budget amendment to this is just the CHIPS program to adjust the expenses and the revenues for 2021. I'm taking that, you know, it's revenue neutral. And it's CHIPS money, so it has nothing to do with our regular fund. Can I have an introduction? Ronnie, a second. Amber, any questions or comments? A roll call vote, please. Tracy?
Alderman Anthony.
Aye.
Vascoluti.
Aye.
Frick.
Aye.
Harris.
Aye.
Moranti?
Aye.
Morris?
Aye.
Roney?
Aye.
Saar?
Aye.
Walker?
Aye.
Wallace?
Aye.
President DiPietro?
Aye.
Carried.
The next resolution authorizes a contract for professional grant writing services with LaBerge. Can I have an introduction, please? Dewan, a second.
I'll second. Walker.
Any questions? If you're wondering, an RFP was issued. We heard from 10 firms, actually, and a committee made up of Vicky, myself, the mayor-related, and the mayor, decided on LaBerge.
Curiously, so.
One at a time. Vicki has her hand up first, actually.
Yeah, I just want to add that going through the interview, LaBerge really stand up as a very impressive firm. And in the past, they have secured approximately $1.7 million for our city. So I really think we're in good hands with them.
Or other questions or comments? Margaret.
Yes, Vicki, did you say they had secured grants for Hudson?
Yes.
For this city? Okay.
Yes. In the last 3 years, approximately $1.7 million.
Mm-hmm. Okay, roll call vote then, please, Tracy.
Alderman Anthony.
Aye.
Pascaluti.
Aye.
Frick.
Aye.
Harris.
Aye.
Moranti.
Aye.
Morris.
Aye.
Roning.
Aye.
Saar.
Aye.
Walker.
Aye.
Wallace.
Aye.
Present DiPietro.
Aye.
Carried.
The next resolution, it turns out it hadn't been voted on last month. We did discuss it, and we came up with the decision to make the gender-inclusive language council member, as you might recall. Can I have an introduction?
I will introduce.
Oh, was that Vicki?
Yes.
And Margaret, are you? Vicki and Margaret. Any further discussion? A roll call vote, please, yes. Tracy.
Council Member Anthony.
What? I'm sorry. Malachi, did you want to say something?
Yeah, I just wanted to right quick, just again, wanted to sincerely apologize for just taking this whole process out of context and not really fully doing my due diligence on this matter. Again, I wanted to thank Margaret for explaining it in full detail to me. Again, no way would I intentionally undermine or, belittle this matter. In respect of Powerful Woman Month, my mother, who's been the only hero I've known, my Wonder Woman, if you will, so it's truly an honor to stand in solidarity with this request.
Okay, thank you, Malachi.
Yeah.
So did we start voting? No.
I can start.
Oh, please, roll call vote, please.
Council Member Anthony.
Aye.
Pascaluti.
Aye.
Frick.
Aye.
Harris.
Aye.
Moranti.
Tom, to go along with this, I'm assuming we're going to get the business card to go along with it. Hopefully the new council members haven't had theirs already, but I'm assuming we're going to get the new. So, aye.
Morris.
Aye.
Roney?
Aye.
Saar?
Aye.
Walker?
Malachi?
Yeah, no, I said aye.
Wallace?
Aye.
Present DiPietro?
Aye.
Carried.
Okay, the next resolution is authorizing the execution of a lease with the Pocketbook Factory of Hudson relative to 604 Washington Street, and also issuing a negative declaration. Recently, Crystal Peck, our attorney, and I have negotiated a 2-year lease for the majority of the lot north of the firehouse to be used by the Pocketbook Factory while they work on their building. It's a temporary lease. It's a good deal. We based it on other city parking permits to come up with a price. So I'm hoping you support it. Can I have an introduction? Amber, hold on a second. Dewan, questions?
Yes, Tom?
Yes.
Well, I'm in favor of this, of course, because if you are in this area, you know, between the Depot District and the Pocketbook Factory, there's going to be an issue with parking potentially. So So instead of the residents trying to find parking, it's better if they, you know, the people district has their own and the pocketbook has their own parking. So I'm really happy for that. The only thing is, I also want to add that it's a very good for our city to have the lease of getting 12,500 per year. That's wonderful. It would be nice if we have some flexibility during the election days. We may need parking. That's a parking. That's an election location there.
Right. Just one day.
Location. Yeah. So I just maybe we can communicate that.
Yeah. Well, we're leaving. There's going to. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt. But there is some space that will be left open for parking, for non.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, it never gets packed. I have to say. Nobody goes at the same time, so it should be totally fine, you know. That's all.
Okay. And Vicki, just so you know, election days have actually been a very specific point of conversation with them. So that's something that we're already considering and it's going to be worked into it.
Dominic, you have your hand up.
Thanks, Don. So along with Vicki's question, the other shareholders, and I know the county uses it for their meals, and also the fire department. So everyone on board and okay with the spots that are left, that's not going to be leased?
Correct.
And in terms of, because also that's where a lot of the city dumps their snow, is that going to be an interference?
No.
And
these are all people, these are all unauthorized uses, by the way, but go ahead.
Okay, all right. So they're also going to maintain why they're going to plow and everything? Is that part of the lease? Are we going to maintain?
I didn't quite hear what you said.
The timing for snow is...
No, Rob has agreed to find somewhere else.
No, he's asking if... the city is going to be maintaining the parking lot.
Oh, no, not at all. It's totally, they'll be maintaining it. That's part of the attached contract.
Tom?
Yes. Who's that? Oh, Krista?
Tom.
Yes.
So once we have conversations about how it was being used, it's going to be partitioned off where the pocketbook factory is essentially their parking for that two-year term. It's going to be separated essentially by a fence. And then everything outside of it will be able to be used for those purposes that have been discussed tonight. We have not finalized how the maintenance is going to go between the two. So I just want to make sure that that's clear because that's something that we're still working out based on. We're waiting for a site plan to come back from the engineer. The pocketbook factory as to how everything's going to end up being divvied up. But we have been doing this with conversations with the fire department and knowing and discussing the county's use for their senior program at the fire department with all of us.
Not to mention that the seniors should be moving back to the library at some point, I believe. Because that's where they were until the pandemic and then moved to the... Firehouse. Margaret.
Yeah, so I had a couple of questions on this. First of all, as I read it, Crystal, and you've confirmed it, this is a temporary lease.
Yes.
For the duration of the period when they're doing construction. It's not a permanent.
No, not at all. Yeah. That's not hard to figure out.
I think it's very important to emphasize that. Are we being asked to approve this?
Yes.
This evening?
Yes.
I don't think that we should approve anything until you have finalized your negotiations in terms of how you're divvying it up, because there seems to be too much that's still open-ended with regard to exactly how the spaces will be used, how accommodations will be made, etc. I'm looking at the language, the limited access for civilian parking, but it doesn't say what, it doesn't say how many spaces, it doesn't really give any concrete information on what the contract is. You know, as you said, Crystal, you have not yet finalized some of the agreements around use of the space during the 2-year period. So I would prefer to be voting on something where I know exactly what the agreement is. I'm not comfortable with this right now.
Crystal, you want to speak to that?
Sure, just to clarify too. So We have an agreement, at least verbally right now. We're still working, you know, we've got to finalize everything on paper, where there's going to be up to, I believe, 20 spots set aside for the fire department and for the county use. And I did talk to Commissioner Hutchinson about the amount that he needs and the number of times a year, and that's where all of those numbers were gotten from. So we have that in place. What we're doing is we're just waiting on essentially that site plan to come in so we can, you know, put it in black and white, attach it to the lease agreement. But for the most part, most of the terms are actually already on paper. We just have to wait for that final part to come in. But for the number of spaces, I know when I spoke to the commissioner, he had said that, you know, 20 to 25 times a year, they may need to use that spot, and, plus the election days. They're looking for 15 to 20 spaces, and I've had this conversation with the Fox Book Factory attorney. None of that was anything that they objected to.
So I think that's great. I would just prefer to be voting on something where it was in writing.
Okay.
That's all.
Amber.
Let's go. What? Oh, Amber.
So kind of going off Margaret's point, so if we, let's just say we vote on this tonight, do we never see this again, or once the agreement's finalized?
Hey, you'll see the finalized agreement.
Okay.
So are we going to table it today?
No. I think we'll have a roll call vote.
Excuse me?
We're going to have a roll call vote.
According to Margaret, I think she wanted to table it.
That's fine.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see why we can't just wait for the site plan. Or at least something in writing as to exactly how many spaces are going to be allocated or whatever. I mean, if we vote on this and we approve it, and then the final lease agreement and so forth, that's not something we're going to be voting on because we've approved moving ahead with this. And I just think it's premature without having all the information. I'm not opposed.
Arthur?
I think it's fine. I think it's great. But I just think we need to wait until we have all the data.
Is it detrimental to the project to wait till we have all of the details?
So that was part of the reason that this is before you, before the council now, as opposed to the April meeting. They're hoping to start construction around the April 1st time frame. In order to do that, they would need to have the parking spaces. They need to have a lease agreement finalized by then, which is why my preference would have been to finalize the lease before bringing this over to the council, but that's why we brought the resolution and made it subject to city council's approval of the terms to see if the council was comfortable with moving forward with this now to give time to finalize those and get this in place for April.
Yes, a roll call vote, please.
Alderman Anthony.
Aye.
Descaluti?
Vicki, you're muted.
Aye.
Frick?
I'll abstain.
Harris?
I'm going to vote no.
Moranti?
So, I apologize. In theory, I do agree, but unfortunately, I did get a chance to look at the resolution. And I already got a couple pages through my process, and I think, you know, I have to follow, you know, my process, and I'll have to, unfortunately, abstain, and I'm hoping it doesn't affect anything moving forward, but I would be more comfortable if I got a chance to go from start to finish.
Morris?
No.
Excuse me, Roney?
I think the council is right to be cautious, especially when there's money and construction to be involved. So I will say no, but I would hope the city can work something out in the interim so they can stage without delaying their construction too much. But so no.
Summer?
I mean, can we write down something like we could pass this resolution and we could modify and you very first later on?
Yeah, of course. You can always modify.
It's already start voting, so.
What's that?
I vote no.
Walker?
Okay, I'm also going to abstain.
Wallace?
I will vote no, but add that I know that there will be a revision of this that is much tighter coming forward, and I look forward to voting on that.
Exactly.
Well, I'll be prepared for a special meeting because we're going to do this before April.
Yeah,
no,
I don't have a problem. Yeah, that's fine because you need to have it in place in April.
Okie doke.
Yeah. The tenets of the whole deal are great. It's just locking it down in the language.
Yeah, okay.
President DiPietro?
Yes. Okay, let's move on. To the next resolution. As you recall, this authorizes the mayor to execute an agreement with the CDBG to administer the CDBG funds to Return Brewing. Michael Tucker's here. Do you want to explain quickly what this is, Mike?
Yes, good evening. You may recall last summer, the city council approved a resolution authorizing Mayor Johnson to sign an application for a New York State Office of Community Renewal Economic Development Grant. This program is designed to benefit businesses in a community. The program is established in a way that requires the municipality to be the applicant. Generally, the applicant, being the municipality, then enters into a sub-grant agreement once it's awarded by the state so that they aren't involved in administering the grant and they have no recourse or risk of recapture of the grant. So the state approved the grant application. They've provided the city with a grant agreement. This is the agreement between the city and Columbia Economic Development to manage the grant, and we will then have an agreement between CEDC and the Return Brewery LLC. The money is to be used for equipment. It's only it's up to $375,000. However, it's based on a formula of $15,000 per job. So they're going to get the full amount of the grant, as they indicated in their application. They're going to have to create 25 full-time equivalent positions. They also have to remain in New York State in business for 5 years. Otherwise, this grant becomes a loan. And it's actually the sub-agreement we enter into after we contract with the city. We enter into a loan agreement, and that loan is only forgiven if they are still in business after 5 years and they've created the jobs. Otherwise, it's a grant, and then it becomes a grant. They have to provide for 51% of the jobs for people who meet low or moderate income standards established by the state. This facility is going to be up across the street from One Hudson City Center, where KeyBank is located, on the same block with the Speedway gas station. As you may recall, the developer did come to the initial meetings back last summer, and the application was submitted. The state approved it, and now we're entering into the agreement that allows the city to contract with CEDC to manage the grant. Any questions?
Go ahead.
Ryan?
You want a question?
No, I want you to.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I appreciate it.
You guys don't actually decide.
The question I have is, is this fund is completely to be dispersed to the brewing company? Is there any provisions for funds for the city to keep in order to kind of police or inspect or, you know, whatever legal costs there
are? Well, basically, Right. All of the costs have been covered by the developer for preparing the application, and CEDC does receive an $8,000 fee out of the $375,000 for doing what you're, the work you're just describing. And that's how these grants are set up, so these don't have to become a burden of city administration.
Thank you. I have a question.
Malachi? Oh, actually, Art was next. Hold on, Malachi.
So, in pursuant to this grant application, after having read this, it seems like the grant itself goes to the City of Hudson. The City of Hudson then contracts it to you guys, right?
It's actually, they sub-grant it. We're a sub-grant recipient. And then we loan it. We sign loan documents with the developer. And after they meet the requirements of the jobs, the low and moderate income percentage, and they are still in business in 5 years in New York State, the loan is forgiven. If not, they have to pay it back.
Okay. Are there any, is there any liability to the City of Hudson for this?
I would leave that to your council, but I can assure you there is not. The county has done several of these grants over the years with the Office of Community Renewal, including the Hudson Valley Creamery, including Clock Estates, and these are designed as to be passed through to the city with no liability to the city or to the sub-grantee CEDCs. But I'll leave that to Crystal to address.
Yeah, I would agree with Mr. Tucker's analysis of this. I didn't see any basis for liability. And I probably have to go back through again to do a more detailed review of all the contracts to just make sure that there's nothing that I'm missing. But I would agree with Mr. Tucker. He's done these a bunch of times, and I do have faith in everything that he is advising the council along with this.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
The important thing here is to know that this program is available to other businesses who meet the qualifications, and we're happy to work through applications with them and coordinate that with your review and consideration. We don't want this to be a program that appears to be just for select businesses. It is for equipment. They do have to create new jobs, and they do have to convince both, they have to convince the city council to apply. In the past, the county did all of these, and we felt that we would, back in the summer, when the developers came to us, and this was one of the tools in the toolkit, we felt that the city should be deciding whether to award or to apply for these types of grants in the city, not the county. The county does do this on a town for all the towns. But we felt that if the city was interested, that they should be the applicant.
Dominic, you have a question or comment?
Yes, thank you. Thank Mike for all the work on this and being here. But just a couple of things. So 51% of the jobs, is that the City of Hudson or the county?
I think it's low and moderate income. I don't think they can, I don't think the state is, but I will check on that. It's the program is established, but I don't think they're tracking where people live because, you know, what if you got hired when you lived in the city and you moved out, you have to be fired. I mean, we went through that with some of the other projects in the past, but as a point of information, I'll find that out, but the program is the program, and it's as designed by the state. But I understand your question.
And then does the 51% also include construction and whoever's installing? Now, my understanding is this is for, just basically the equipment needed for the business. So,
it does not flow. The program doesn't require the developer to flow down to their construction or procurement the employees of those businesses. No, it does not.
Yeah, I was under the impression that.
Malachi?
Yeah, no. I remember voting on this, but I was, you know, understanding what was that it was for local employers or employees. I'm sorry.
It's their intent to hire from Hudson. That's, I believe, what they said that night. But, you know, if they got to a point where there were no people applying with those eligibility, they would need to go beyond the scope. I think it was, I think you're right, they did say that it was their intent to do that. I'm just not sure if there's a way to legally restrict it under this program. I do think, though, that the city has already approved the resolution signing, authorizing the mayor to sign the grant. This is strictly, so the grant has been, grant agreement with the city and the state has been signed. This is the agreement between the city and CEDC to administer the grant.
Thank you, Michael.
We will go back and we will go back and press on the developer their commitment to make first best to you know, their first responsibility is to fill jobs with residents of the city of Hudson.
All right. Thank you.
Can I have can I have an introduction?
Oh,
we'll get back to the comments. Yeah, yeah. Hold on a second. Can I have an introduction? Ronnie? Second?
Second,
Ryan. Okay. Heather, do you want to contribute to this?
Yeah, the only thing I wanted to comment was to reiterate what both Mike and Crystal said. Okay. The city has done this before. We've done it with other agencies, including HCBPA and Hudson Opera House, where the city just basically acts as one of the two of them described as a pass-through grant. So if the applicant provides the appropriate information to get their reimbursement money, that money will come to the city of Hudson. We put it in what's called a pass-through trust account, and then that money goes to the entity that actually spent it. So I just wanted to reiterate, it is something that we've done before. I agree that I do not believe the city has any liability. Just wanted to share that.
Thank you, Heather. Did you have a question, Margaret? Or?
Yeah, just kind of, it's general observation. I mean, I understand that this was discussed and voted on last year, but I think it would have been helpful for us to have been given a little bit more information in our package so that we know, because I don't even know where this is located, and most of us were not present for presentations and discussions last forum. And so just in general, it would have been helpful to have more background information.
Well, that's why Mike was here tonight.
Excuse me?
That's why Mike Tucker was here to tell us about it. And explain
right.
what it
we
is, and that it also wasn't,
right.
you know.
We had materials ahead of time that we could look at it, that we understand the context, the history, that would have been much easier.
Okay, a roll call vote, please. Oh, Art, you have another question?
Just to double click on what Margaret said, I think having any additional context in the document collection that we get, I think would be super helpful and ultimately limit the conversation and back and forth that we have at these meetings. The other, just to again circle around, like what location is this? This is the service station.
Yeah, this is the Depot Brewery.
Yeah. No, it's not the Depot.
It's across the street. Across the street from the Depot Brewery.
Oh.
So you said it was in the Speedway Plaza.
It's next door to the Speedway gas station.
It used to be Tire Place. You remember that?
The
Van Cleef Tire Place.
It was a
Van
Cleef Tire.
Okay, yeah. Now I know where it is. Okay, thank you.
Cool. Thank you all for all the context.
And my apologies. What we will do is I will circulate a one or two page summary of the grant program so that you'll have a clearer understanding, and then as these come up in the future, as we're helping businesses in the community, you'll have a better perspective on whether you want to consider the application or approve the subcontract with CEDC.
So, you know, my question wasn't really about the grant program. I think you explained that very clearly. That's not really the issue. It's just, you know, I'm looking at this wondering, well, what exactly is this? Because you know, we weren't here. I wasn't here last year when it was discussed in detail. And just a little something that just described the actual thing that we're going on would have been, you know, that's all. That's all I would say.
Yeah. So I appreciate that. And when I realized it was on tonight's agenda, I called the council president to see if it would be appropriate to join the call in case these questions came up. And
thank you.
Thank you, Michael.
No, thank you all.
Thanks, Mike. Any other questions?
I think Theo has his hand up.
Oh, Theo, sorry.
We're losing you. You're on mute.
How about now? Am I good?
Yeah, that's good. Thanks.
Yeah. I just wanted to earmark this potentially for the technology committee. I think there's a lot of instances where there's drafts of resolutions that reference previous grants or previous things that have been brought up in earlier sessions. And I'll make a note of this, but just wanted to earmark it while it's happening that maybe there's a way to rethink distribution of the documents that also tags to previous iterations and relevant material along with resolution. So just wanted to throw that out there.
I agree all the way in. It's a great idea.
Thank you, Theo. Okay. No more to be said about that? A roll call vote, please.
Councilmember Anthony.
Aye.
Daskaluti.
Aye.
Frick.
Aye.
Harris.
Aye.
Moriarty.
Again, I want to appreciate everything Mike's done, and I know this is just part of the process, and, you know, there's a lot of background that you know, this is just, you know, the second part of a process that, you know, we're entitled to fulfill. So, aye.
Morris.
Aye.
Roney.
Aye.
Saar.
Aye.
Walker.
Abstain.
Wallace.
Aye.
President DiPietro.
Aye.
Carried.
The next resolution, please, Shaheen. This is an unpaid bill from 2021 for some catering that was provided to the senior center?
Yeah.
Yeah. Can I have an introduction, please?
I'll introduce.
All right. Second?
Second.
Margaret, any questions?
Why did it take so long for us to just pay this to get the bill?
Heather, do you have an answer to that? Is it just a late receipt?
No, there were a variety of issues. As you know, the senior center didn't have a staff for a period of time.
Okay.
And then the council passed a requirement, a very good one, requiring an independent contractor agreement to be signed. That information, as far as I know, was not communicated to the senior center commissioner. Because it usually went to the directors, but at the time the senior center did not have a director. So in any case, the person was hired before the independent contractor policy was signed. The contractor performed the services. The contractor, as far as I know, does qualify to be identified as an independent contractor. I think just the lack of sort of staff within the senior center department with the departure of the commissioner and the addition of a clerk who was very new and did not necessarily have a lot of guidance made getting this contract quite delayed. And that's basically it. So as far as I know, the caterer performed their duties. It's not in the right order. It's not ideal. But I do support this, and you will see a resolution coming up a little bit later that also authorizes a transfer in order to pay this, because we want to make sure it doesn't, not only does it get paid, but it gets paid out of the right account, and it was not determined by Senior Center Management until today that they did not have enough money in the appropriate funds, and President DiPietro was nice enough to let us add the resolution from the Senior Center authorizing a transfer to be introduced tonight, even though it did not meet the 24-hour requirement.
Cool. Thank you for the context, Heather. I just wanted to make sure that this was like an anomaly and not a, you know, standard issue kind of thing.
Absolutely an anomaly.
Perfect. Thank you.
Can I have an introduction?
I'll introduce.
Second?
I have Alderman Ford.
I will.
Oh, you already did. Oh, we already did. Sorry. Roll call vote, please.
Councilmember Anthony.
Aye.
Descaluti.
Aye.
Frick?
Aye.
Harris?
Aye.
Moranti?
Aye.
Morris?
Aye.
Roney?
Aye.
Sarar?
Aye.
Walker?
I'm going to remove myself from here to conflict of interest.
Wallace?
Aye.
President DiPietro?
Aye.
Carried.
Okay, the next resolution is kind of self-descriptive. Can I have an introduction first?
I'll introduce.
A second? Go on. Any questions? Comments?
What is this actually?
Excuse me? I couldn't hear what you said.
He said, who is this?
I mean, no. Oh,
said, who is Lafayette?
No, no. I said, what is this actually? Like what organization?
Well, since you want to know more, we have in our Zoom, the person who has, let me see if I can find him here. Is he, are you here? Let's see.
Hello?
Yeah?
Yes. Is this?
Hey. So I'm Julian with the Lafayette Trail. I'm the one who offered the proposal to donate the sign to the city. So I just wanted to attend the meeting, tell you that we're excited if the market proposal works out. So I work around the U.S. I place markers where Lafayette went when we can document that he went. We have donated over 80 markers, 80, across 25 states. We have 12 or 13 by now in New York State. So this is kind of our last stretch along the Hudson River. We have signs in Catskill. We have one in Troy. We have one. Soon we're going to have one in, we have one at Fort Hamilton down at the Narrows. We're going to have one in Mississippi at Poughkeepsie. So we have plenty of signs basically in the state. We want to make sure that Hudson's given a chance to have a marker as well. The markers are donated, they're free of charge. We will craft it with the text that's on page 2 of the proposal. We will ship it to you at no cost, and all we need is a location for us, which is indicated in the resolution at Henry Hudson Park, and somebody at the DPW to work with, so we could have the sign installed, and I would be happy to join you for the dedication later on. Thank you.
And I hope all members know who Lafayette was, so I don't have to supply extra information.
I have a question. Is this the General Lafayette that
yes.
helped us during the revolution?
Correct.
That is the same man, exactly. He came back out 43 years later, for the 50th anniversary of the American Revolution, the entire country went ballistic over him. And I'm sure the same can be said about the people in your city in 1824. Actually, I can tell you that it was the case. It's documented very well. So hopefully you will welcome this proposal like the rest of the country, and I'd be happy to celebrate this time in Hudson with your community.
Thank you. A roll call vote, please, Tracy.
Councilmember Anthony.
Aye.
Descaluti?
Aye.
Frick?
Aye.
Harris?
Aye.
Moranti?
I think this is great, that Tom sent a volunteer during the unveiling to dress up as to reenact.
I second that. I'll only provisionally accept or approve this resolution.
I will be George Washington.
Was he alive at that point? 1824?
Now he died in 1784.
Yeah.
Wait, are you insinuating the Thomas
okay,
chair?
Enough. Enough frivolity. Let's get this vote over.
Morris.
Aye.
Roney.
Aye.
Sauer.
Aye.
Walker.
Aye.
Wallace.
Aye.
Present DiPietro.
Aye.
Carried.
Okay, the next one.
Before we start, when are you going to put this sign?
That sign?
Okay.
Yeah, that sign. Purple.
So, was the resolution approved?
Yes.
Okay, so I've been working with Michael Hoffman in Hudson. Is somebody going to get in touch with me or with us? Or,
sure.
Or what do you see as the next step here?
Yeah, no, Michael will contact you.
All right, okay, cool. Bye. Okay, thank you very much, everybody. Have a great evening.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
The next resolution that Heather referred to authorizes a transfer of funds within, I believe, let's see, I think it's within their own, yes, within their own budget for 2021 expenditures in the senior center. Can I have an introduction, please?
What is it called?
I'm sorry, did someone say something?
No, go on.
Dewan, you're introducing?
Yeah.
Second?
Ryan, do you want a second?
Yeah, I'll second.
Oh, okay. Any questions, comments? A roll call vote, please.
Councilmember Anthony.
Aye.
Descaluti.
Aye.
Frick.
Aye.
Harris.
Aye.
Moranti.
Aye.
Morris.
Aye.
Roney.
Aye.
Sarar.
Aye.
Walker.
Aye.
Wallace.
Aye.
Present DiPietro.
Aye.
Carried.
Okay, the last resolution is a negative declaration under SEACR related to the local law that we're going to vote on. Crystal, could you just give a quick explanation of why we have to do this?
Sure. So whenever the council is going to do an action like adopt a local law, they have to look at the environmental impacts on that law under New York State's State Environmental Quality Review Act. That is what this resolution pertains to. This would be considered an unlisted action. There are three types of actions. Type 2, which requires no further review. Type 1, which requires an in-depth review. And an unlisted reaction, an unlisted action, which is essentially in between. It could be elevated to a Type 1, but it cannot be elevated to a Type 2. You need to do a little bit of a review on it. We went through this, and there is a, I'm not sure if the council was provided a copy, there are a short form EAF, and what that is an environmental assessment form that goes through and asks different questions issued by the DEC to be able to tell if there's going to be a significant environmental impact. And going through that form, it is my recommendation that there is not a significant environmental impact and that the board of the council can go ahead and pass a negative declaration, which means that negative declaration means that the action will not have a significant impact on the environment.
It wasn't added, but there is one if you want to see it. It was connected to your the lease proposal if you want to see what it looks like. Can I have an introduction, please?
I'll introduce.
And a second. Amber. Any other questions? A roll call vote, please.
Tom?
Yes, who's that?
As I'm seeing this, there needs to be an amendment.
I'm sorry?
There needs to be a motion to amend the resolution.
Okay.
The second whereas clause says the passage of the local law will have no negative impact. It should read, will not have a negative impact.
Okay. Do we need a motion for that? Might as well. Can I have a motion to amend it as Crystal Art?
Motion to amend.
Amber? All those in favor of the amendment signify by saying aye.
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 Anyone opposed? Okay. So now we're going to have a roll call vote on the amended version.
Councilmember Anthony.
Aye.
Descaluti.
Aye.
Frick.
Aye.
Harris.
Aye.
Moranti.
Thank you, Crystal, for catching that. Aye.
Morris.
Aye.
Roney. Saar?
Aye.
Walker?
Aye.
Wallace?
Aye.
President DiPietro?
Aye.
Carried.
Okay, and now the law that's been on our desks for a while, to abolish the tourism board. First, can I have a introduction?
I'll introduce Tom.
Ryan, a second?
I'll second.
All right. Any questions before we have a roll call vote? We think we discussed this at length. Okay, roll call vote, please.
Councilmember Anthony.
Aye.
Vascoluti.
Aye.
Frick.
Aye.
Harris.
Aye.
Moranti.
Aye.
Morris.
Aye.
Roney.
Aye.
Saar.
Aye.
Walker.
Aye.
Wallace.
Aye.
President DiPietro.
Aye. Okay. Under new business, Alderman, I was going to say Alderman, sorry, Councilmember Morris would like to talk about ethics.
Yeah, I just wanted to introduce a suggestion to the council and we could start with ourselves. We've now, most of us have had an opportunity to complete the NICOM sessions. Some of us were able to attend the session in person in Albany. And I think I've spoken to a couple of people up there. There was one session in particular that I thought was very helpful. It was very high level. It was just a one-hour webinar relating to ethics. And I think that it would be a very positive thing for us to look at having NICOM do a workshop with us on New York State ethics law and perhaps moving in the direction of having an annual, you know, mandatory compliance type training for members of the council. I mean, I could see this going beyond into various committees and so forth, but I think at a minimum, if we would, as a group, look at potentially having some training from NICOM so that we're aware of all of the regulations and what the law is moving forward, and then we could, you know, look at potentially having this as a standard thing that we do beginning of the year every year.
Well, Crystal, I wanted to put out there for discussion. Crystal, correct me if I'm wrong, but that would have to be a charter amendment to make it mandatory, correct?
I'm sorry, I missed the last part of it. What's to make which part, Mark, mandatory?
I'm sorry, it would have to be a charter amendment to make it mandatory, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
That's a down the road. That's a down the road thing. What I'm proposing is that we look at this as a group, and we agreed to have, you know, NICOM come and do. They have an excellent lawyer who does the ethics training, and have someone come in and give us a briefing. I think it would be really good for all of us. I would certainly appreciate it.
Dominic, did you want to say something?
Is there a way, Crystal, that we can put it through the rules of order, so you know every new council has to participate in certain things. Because I do see a value in NICOM. You know, I did attend three of them, and they were very eye opening. They were very informative, and I do think that at least initially for freshmen, you know, the rules of order that they have to, you know, do this within three or four months or whatever, but make it totally available for them, so it's not a, you know, a struggle to be, to get the information.
You know, Dominic, I'm not sure whether we can do that through rules of order, but I can find that out pretty quickly and report back to the council probably in the next day or two.
Sorry, could somebody? I'm having trouble with the audio. I didn't catch what Dominic said. Did you catch?
Dominic was wondering if we could make it a rule of order. And Crystal said she'd look into it. My thinking is not likely, because rules of order are about the order of how we do things, not about, you know, mandatory requirements. But that's,
so I think if we put mandatory to one side here, that's like the down the road vision.
Right. Well, that was Dominic's.
What I'm asking for this evening is that we consider having an ethics training for the council. And then we can look at whether or not we would see value to having this be part of our standard business practice going forward.
It's just a suggestion, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, but it came up about mandatory because Dominic was asking about that.
Right.
Council members, any other questions or comments?
What would the cost be associated?
Well, I haven't discussed in detail with NICOM yet, because when I brought, after the first ethics session that we had online, I contacted them because it was high level, but I was learning a lot of things I was not aware of. And they suggested that we finish out the intro sessions, and then that we meet and talk about areas or topics, and there are other topics that they would also cover, or could cover, that we meet, and then get back to them and see what we would like to do. So I, without any sense of, consensus from the council, I have not pursued it further. So I'm really asking if I can continue discussion with NICOM and see if there's something we can explore there.
So let's have a quick vote, an oral vote. All those in favor of Margaret pursuing, asking NICOM to come and talk to us about ethics, signify by saying aye.
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 Anyone opposed? Okay, Margaret.
Great, thank you. Thank you all very much for that.
Thank you,
Margaret.
Okay, on to other business. Any new business from council members first, or comments? Yes, Dominic.
So I just had a question, during the audio. So I'm hearing some people did you guys change anything in the council microphones or anything? Because some I'm hearing very well, but you have an F on probably because of your location. But was there any change? With the audio.
Is anybody on a computer?
No.
Okay.
I think it's just that we're sitting closer to the mic. And I was going to suggest that maybe next time, if there is assigned seating and someone's not here, Amber, feel free to sit. Is that an issue, or are the seatings?
This is what we have in terms of doing a hybrid meeting.
But I think it's just the audio is fuzzy.
Yeah. Well,
and not everybody's. I mean, I think Crystal was very clear.
Yeah. Are you saying the Zoom audio? Which audio is saying?
I'm having difficulty hearing some participants.
Yeah.
I think Dominic.
Yeah, it's actually you, Dominic, that we're having a hard time.
Hey, Dominic, are you using a cell phone?
No, I'm using a wireless microphone. Yeah, the cell phone, yeah.
Yeah, that's probably it is. That's why.
Well, after tomorrow, it's going to be me, but I'll be with y'all.
Correct.
Okay, sounds
good. That's actually, I should announce that, barring the governor changing the rule again tonight, we will be all have to be, at least these council members will have to be in person. But as you know from this example, we still will do the hybrid so that community members can attend through Zoom.
Right. One thing that...
Yes, sir? Sorry. Go ahead.
One thing that Ronnie did send me last week, Dominic, was that you can actually get two owls and connect them wirelessly. So it might be behoove us to think about purchasing another owl so that we could position one closer to the front of the chamber and one closer to the back of the chamber, and then theoretically everybody would hear everything a little bit better.
Cool.
So the public would hear things better. We would probably hear things better, because I'm guessing it would also be two speakers as well as two microphones.
Sounds good, but it's going to be echo on it?
Yeah.
Because it's two speakers.
They're designed to work with each other. So I don't know if we could
get
external microphones. They do not suggest that. They suggest the two. Obviously, as a business practice, it works for them as well.
Right.
But it might also just be a lot easier for setup and configuration if we can have two. There's also other things that they recommended, like hanging them from the ceiling. There's other things, but I hear what you're saying, Dominic, and that does it sound like Tom is super far away?
Yes, and he has the echo, so that's why maybe if he is mic somehow we microphone, up on the podium there.
Won't work.
It might be different.
Wouldn't work.
We're going to have to give you a cone like the olden days.
A megaphone.
Anyway.
It's called a megaphone.
Okay.
Okay. Any other comments from council members on any matters?
Yeah, you're going to set the special meeting date?
Well, I have to wait till Crystal finalizes the document. And then we will do it ASAP. Any other council members, comments, questions? Okay, we have some public questions, a comment. Supervisor Cousin.
So pretty that all that Dominic said about the sound. It sounds like all of you are fired. I'm sure that it's just the echo in the room, and I don't know what could be done. I know that there are some suggestions, but I'm on a laptop, so it was really hard to hear Margaret. It was really hard to hear and Dewan, especially. It sounds like we echo when you speak, and then all of your comments get lost in echo.
It's also, Claire, I think that one thing that's, like, Dewan doesn't talk very loud, and, like, I'm super loud when I talk, and I think it's just, like, a level difference, and I'm not sure if Mayoral A. Hoffman got around to updating the firmware on the OWL that we have here, but all of these things that we can look at.
Heather, you have...
I would say that it is an improvement over a few sessions ago in terms of before the firmware update. So, but I think it does sound like the acoustics are largely the room and the space from the microphone. So barring like kind of like sound dampening, I think, and we're pretty limited with the architecture of the space. But I think, yeah, multiple microphones would help, you know, which would obviously require multiple OWLs. So, yeah, just wanted to say it does sound better, at least from a couple sessions ago, for me.
Heather?
I agree with you. I do think
Oh, hold on, Vicky. Somebody had their hand up. Heather?
Yeah.
Oh, that's fine. I was just going to echo that for me personally, and I'm on my home computer because my work computer died, it's much better than it was. I could hear everybody, not everybody as clearly as each other person, but I could hear every conversation. So that was great for me.
Thank you. Vicky, did you want
to? Yeah, I think it's a lot better what it used to be. I don't want us to spend a lot of money buying a lot of equipment when I wonder if it has to do with the few people that can't hear very well. I wonder if it has to do with issues with internet or their devices, or I don't know. I don't know why it's not consistent to all of us listening, hearing it the same way, but maybe the tech committee will know more.
We have a grant for buying equipment, right, for the meeting team, or no, we don't? No, right?
Well, actually, we could technically use ARPA funds, yes.
Yeah.
But the money's not really the problem. It's just making sure we get the right thing. And I'll consult with Shaheem, who knows more about these things as well.
Yeah.
Yes, Ronnie.
I just wanted to reply to Vicky. The OWL's about $1,000, and I think it's a really good investment to keep our community engaged and make it so that everybody, the meeting's more accessible.
I agree with you. I'm just saying that we don't need to have four in one room. You know, we have to make sure if we can hear, if we can communicate.
Two is the limit anyways for the company. So.
Yeah, I know. I'm just saying that. I don't know why some people can't hear clearly and some cannot. So that's the biggest question, you know, the reason we have to find with that.
Dominic? Dominic?
Brian, where are you located with that OWL? Because you came out crystal clear. There was no echo when you speak. And I am wearing headphones, but you came out with crystal clear. There was no echo. Where are you with the proximity to the OWL?
I'm sitting right smack in the middle, and the owl's looking at me too, so that makes sense.
And I'm sitting on the other side from Ryan.
And do you think same thing? You are like there is no echo, you know. So I think maybe more might be an outcome.
Okay, so we'll get that solved, I hope, in the near future. Any other comments from the community as well as the council? Okay, since there aren't any, do I have a motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
That was Dewan and Ronnie. All those in favor of adjournment, please signify by saying aye.
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 Anyone opposed?
Aye.
Anyone opposed?
Aye, everyone.
Good night.
Okay, this meeting is adjourned. Thank you all.